Sand. I'm the owner of Corporate Defense Strategies, and this is Michael Glasser, my associate. And today we're going to talk about TSCM, or Technical Security Countermeasures, or what most people refer to as sweeps. Our topic is the real story behind sweeping for eavesdropping devices. We have a couple pieces of equipment here which we will explain to you how they work, and we're going to cover all of the myths and the misconceptions and the truths behind wiretapping and bug detection and locating those through the use of sweeps. We're going to go over tools that are used for sweeps, a discussion of how telephones are tapped, signs that your offices are bugged. We're going to discuss who gets bugged, how corporate spies infiltrate your infrastructure, spy shop toys. Coming in from the airport here, I passed a big spy shop on my way in. It's probably worth a visit to see what they have over there. What to do if you suspect you've been bugged, planning an execution of a successful sweep, and how to protect your company in the future against eavesdroppers. First, we're going to discuss the tools that are used for sweeps. I can tell you that in my 22 years of being in this business, that I've come across a lot of interesting people that are coming in and offering their services, and really what they're doing is what we call in the business a rain dance. Everybody remembers the rain dance that would be done in order to make the skies open up and rain so that the crops would grow. Well, there are people who come in with empty metal boxes and various types of devices that have lights on them that aren't even connected to a Radio Shack kit. And these devices have switches and lights, and they walk around the room like this, just waving them around. Usually the average room takes about 5 minutes, I would say, for a rain dance to be done. And this is what people are doing, trying to convince you that they're actually sweeping the room for bugs and wiretaps. Most of these people wouldn't know a bug or wiretap if it bit them. So we're going to try to explain the difference. Now, there's a number of tools that should be used for the sweep team that's coming in to do a check for your telephones and room bugs. The first device is what's called a time domain reflectometer. Many of you may know what this is. This is a cable fault locator that's connected to the telephone line, be it a Cat5 or an analog line, and it sends a signal from one end of the line up to 2,500 feet down the line. So theoretically, a person who is checking a home telephone can send a signal, and it's sending a pulse signal down the line throughout the wiring of the house, through the demarcation point at the house, and down the street to the telephone connection or the pole or the underground wiring. A time domain reflectometer will show you, through the use of sine waves on its graph, every place that there's a break in the cable. So for example, you will see at the point that you're checking this device that perhaps you're 30 feet away from the demarcation point in my example of the house. And if you see other breaks before that, those are other extensions. Well, you're going to check out those extensions and see the distance that they're running from the demarcation point and make sure that there's nothing else there that doesn't belong in there, like, for example, a parasitic or slave transmitter. The second device is called a near-field detector. A near-field detector is basically a radio sensing device that is looking for bugs. It's looking for transmitting bugs and helps you to locate where they are. This is usually what you see on television and the movies when people are waving devices around with an antenna. A real radio frequency near-field detector is going to give you signal strength, and this is going to help you when you're playing hotter and colder trying to find out where the bugging device is. The third device which we recommend is a nonlinear junction detector. This is a device that we brought because it's a relatively uncommon device. This is the device that looks like the sponge mop that you might use to clean your bathroom. This stick with the head on it has a carpeted head, so you can use this on the walls. And what this does is it locates nonlinear junctions. Now, some of you may know what that is, and some people may not. A nonlinear junction is defined as a layer of various circuits and diodes and transmitters, as opposed to a beam in the wall, nails in a beam, or some type of metal behind the wall. So if we were to sweep this room before an important conference, we would take this nonlinear junction detector and we would sweep the walls. Now, even if there was a bug in the wall and the bug's battery had died or there was no power to the bug, this device is going to pick it up. How does it do that? It's used to send a signal out from the head, and like radar, it takes the Doppler signal and it sends it back, and you're looking for the second harmonic. The second harmonic would be defined as a transistor or a diode or some type of device that would be contained in a bug. And this is how you find things in walls where nothing is normally present. You also put on a pair of headphones and you listen into the sound, and the sound distinguishes what types of device you're finding as well as watching the LEDs on the meter. Next device is a spectrum analyzer. That's this. Spectrum analyzer sweeps the entire frequency spectrum of radio frequencies that are known. Today, most spectrum analyzers with the right types of antennas can sweep up to 40 gigahertz, which is very high. Most bugs you'll see are actually low-powered bugs that work on an FM band, but this gives you the range of different types of devices that can be detected. An oscilloscope is also used to test and diagnose any kind of unknown devices that are found. And finally, and probably the most important part of the sweep, is the physical inspection. Physical inspection means plan on getting dirty. Open up the ceiling tiles, go up in the ceilings, get under the desk, look in the garbage, and you have to really take the room apart piece by piece. The time domain reflectometer that we had discussed before is an analysis of the conductor, wire cable, or even fiber optic cabling by sending a pulse signal into the conductor and then examining the reflection of that pulse. By examining the polarity, amplitude, frequencies, and other electrical signatures of all the reflections, the tampering of the phone lines or any types of bugs will be located. Any device or wire attached will cause a detectable anomaly, and the TSCM technician will then perform a physical inspection at that location. So somebody came up to me before and they said, "Do you have any bugs with you that I can see?" And the answer is that we don't, because even the possession of a transmitting audio device that would be considered a bug is a federal offense. Time domain reflectometer analysis will usually not detect capacitively isolated devices or inductive taps. Inductive taps meaning somebody putting one of those suction cup microphones on the telephone receiver, for example. In the case of a capacitively isolated device or an inductive tap, the TDR sweep is always supplemented by a detailed high-frequency crosstalk evaluation and, again, a detailed physical inspection. These are pictures of what you would expect to see on the time domain reflectometer. The signal is put into the device, and you're looking for that break in the line, and it's going to tell you in physical feet how many feet that break is from where you're doing your testing on the line up until the demarcation point. The near field detector is designed to detect low-level radio frequency radiation from transmitters, receivers, computers, etc. One of the two antennas detects towards positive while the other detects towards the negative. Therefore, if the source of radio frequency energy is away from the two antennas, it's going to give you the same amount of signal and the meter is going to remain at zero. And as you move closer, it's going to either go over to the right or to the left, giving you the number of feet and distance that the device is located from. This is known as near field or differential detection. We have in the presentation some specific instructions as far as how to use the near-field detector, and I will spare you that exact specification and description. The nonlinear junction detector. This is a device that's only been declassified by the federal government 25 years ago as something that was not available to the private sector. But back in the early 1970s, a method was developed to detect eavesdropping devices through the analysis of the harmonic emissions caused by an illuminating signal which is reflected off of a target. A few years later, this device and method was used by the Super Scout nonlinear junction detector system, which was the first commercially available and patented device. This is made by a company called FXR, located in Livingston, New Jersey. The device that we have here is made by ISA of Stamford, Connecticut, for anyone who's interested in purchasing one of these devices. We don't have them outside, but they are $25,000 a piece, so check the limit on your credit card before you order them. But it's an extremely valuable device because it does give you a tremendous amount of information of all types of devices or even things where, as I said before, that the battery may have died on the device and it will still help you locate it. Spectrum analyzer. We discussed how the spectrum analyzer is evaluating all of the different ranges of radio frequency that are in the room. And this is sweeping from the very lowest to the very highest frequencies. Now, this is going to give you something that is going to take quite a bit of time to run through, because when you consider all the different frequencies that could be present in the room at any one time, there's people in here that have many different cell phones on many different systems, there's people with two-way radios, there's pagers, there's a wireless microphone, and the room is filled with all kinds of radio frequency emission from radio signals, from television signals, and things of that nature. What you have to do is you have to be able to listen to it and discern the differences between all of these signals so you can decide if this is something that could be a threat to your environment. Oscilloscopes, as we discussed, are used to test any suspect devices that are found. You'd be surprised how many times we go up into the ceiling and we find something and nobody can figure out what it is. It's a black box. It may be connected to some wires. It may not be connected to wires. It may have some flying leads coming off of it. It may have nothing. So you want to have your oscilloscope handy so you're able to test any device and identify what it is and to determine if it's a real threat or not. And many people will ask me, and they'll say, how many times do you really find bugs or wiretaps on a telephone? I mean, people call us in to do these sweeps. They're relatively expensive. They're very time-consuming. They're very involved. How often do we really find bugs or wiretaps? And the answer is not very. If I was to make an unscientific guess, I would say that probably only 1 or 2% of the number of calls that a professional TSEM company gets will result in the positive determination of an active bug or wiretap or similar device being installed at the location. However, what we often find is many different signs that something may have been there previously, or a lot of things showing a great deal of weakness in the building security. Physical inspection. No matter how much technology you have, no matter how many boxes you have with lights and flashing devices, the physical inspection is probably one of the most important things that you can do. And the physical inspection involves going into the target room, getting onto ladders. If you have a suspended ceiling, you have to open up the entire ceiling. You have to put high-intensity lights in the ceiling and be able to examine for any types of hidden bugs, cameras, or things of that nature. You have to take every telephone apart. Even though you're testing the telephone, this black box over here from ISA is a telephone analyzer. You can plug an analog telephone into it. You can plug any kind of digital phone, whether it's for a KSU or a PBX system. You can plug it in, you can test the lines, you can test the cables, you can test the outlet, but you still need to open it up and make sure that there's nothing there that didn't become disconnected at some time and the device just came apart. It's still necessary to get on your knees on the floor, as I said before, and to get up on the ladder. How are phones tapped? Well, there are a lot of different ways that telephones are tapped, but probably the most common way is using what's called a dropout relay. The dropout relay is something that can be purchased at your friendly neighborhood Radio Shack store. And this is called a telephone secretary or some type of a euphemistic name that connects a standard tape recorder to the phone line. When any of the phones on that line are picked up, it automatically starts the device and it starts recording onto a tape recorder. Some people have gone to digital recorders now, which are a little bit less obvious for some people. Some people who are looking for a tape recorder wouldn't know what a digital recorder is, but that's one of the most common ways that your phones can be tapped. Somebody does not have to get into your house to tap your phone. That gray box on the outside of your house, which brings all of the telephone lines into the building, is a place that somebody can put a device with two alligator clips, and that device can transmit to a nearby receiver and tape recorder and listen to everything that's being said. You can go further down the line and say that if somebody was to go to that green box down the end of the street or go up on the telephone pole, they could also install a device there, or merely clip on a telephone repair person's butt set to the line and be able to listen to everything that's being discussed. Signs that your offices are bugged. We get calls from people that say, I hear clicking on my phone. Can you come out and check the phone and see if it's tapped? Well, generally when you hear clicking on the phone, that's just the nature of the spurious signals that are transmitted on the telephone lines, and mere clicking on the phone does not mean your phone is tapped. Typically, if your phone is tapped, you're not going to hear anything. What is a good indication that your phones are tapped or your offices are bugged is that others know your confidential business or professional trade secrets. If a competitor comes out to the market with a product before you do, and you've been putting in all of the research and all the time on it, there's a very good chance that your company was a target of industrial espionage. This is the most obvious indicator of covert eavesdropping activities because other people know things that they just couldn't possibly know. Theft of confidential information is a multi-billion dollar underground industry in the United States. It does exist. Often the loss of your secrets will show up in very subtle ways, so you should always trust your instincts in this matter. When your competitors know things that are obviously private or the media finds out about things that they should not know, then it's reasonable to suspect some type of telephone tapping or bugging device has been placed into your rooms. Secret meetings and bids seem to be less than secret. There are many people that their companies are bidding for valuable projects, and all of a sudden somebody else comes up with a bid and it's just a few dollars less than yours. There's always the possibility that somebody got a hold of it, and there's many different ways that people might be getting a hold of your information. But certainly one of the ways that it could be done is through wiretapping and listening in on your conversations and bugging your rooms. Confidential meetings and bids are very popular targets for corporate spies. How would you like the plans for a corporate takeover you're planning to become public knowledge? Would copies of your product designs be of any use to your competitors? Would it be beneficial for your competitors to know how much you're quoting for the same project? So you have to be very careful, and sometimes it's the less obvious things that present the problem. If this meeting room was supposed to be confidential, and we were having a board of directors meeting, and I'm talking on a wireless microphone, that wireless microphone is a bug. And anybody who has a receiver who tunes into that frequency can listen in to and record the entire conversation that I'm having or the entire presentation. You notice strange sounds or volume changes on the phone lines. This is commonly caused by an amateur eavesdropper when they're about to attach a wiretapping device like a telephone butt set. Surveillance devices often cause slight anomalies on the phone line, such as a volume shift or just a dropout in volume altogether. Professional eavesdroppers and their equipment usually do not make such noises, so this is going on. It's probably somebody that is an amateur that's doing this. You've noticed static popping or scratching on your phone lines. This is caused by the capacitive discharge, which occurs when two conductors are connected together, like a bug or wiretapping put on the line. This is also a sign that an amateur eavesdropper or a very poorly trained spy is playing with your phone lines. It could be nothing more than a problem with your phone or your telephone instrument, but a TSEM person should check the phone and make sure that everything is secure. Sounds are coming from your phone's handset when it's hung up. This is a really bad sign. This is often caused by hook switch bypass, and what that means is that a person has hotwired the microphone in your phone so that even when the telephone is on the hook, it's broadcasting all of the conversations of the room through that telephone and down the telephone lines. Your phone often rings and nobody is there. There's a faint tone or a high-pitched squeal or a beep is heard for just a fraction of a second. This is an indicator of a slave device or a line extender being used on your phone line, or some type of harmonica bug, or what they used to refer to as a harmonica tap. Somebody would blow through the harmonica, and in a very similar way that the old Captain Crunch whistle was used, by generating a certain tone, the matching tone would cause the device to kick on. It may be a fax machine or a modem calling a wrong number, but again, this is a situation that should be evaluated if you want to make sure that your conversations are secure. You can hear a tone on your line when your phone is on the hook, and we use an external amplifier to examine this. You would have to obtain a recorder start interface box, as I was discussing before, with a voice-activated option and an amplifier. And by connecting the two, you're able to see when you pick up the phone if the voltage drops on the line or if there's a device that is operated by a voice activation when you start talking. Is this something that's going to start the tape recorder? Your AM or FM radio has suddenly developed strange interference. A lot of amateur spies use devices that operate on an AM or FM band. And these signals tend to drift, and they'll also quiet an FM radio that's tuned in the area. Look for transmissions at the far ends at either scale of the FM frequencies and any quiet area within the FM band. If the radio begins to squeal, and then you slowly move it around the room and the sound becomes more high-pitched, then this is referred to as feedback detection or loop detection, and you may just have located a bug that's in the room. If you find a squealer in this manner, then immediately you want to contact a professional who can get them to your location, because clearly you do have a bug. And just because you have found one bug doesn't mean that that's the only bug that's there. Oftentimes, people will place one device there as a decoy, and you think you found it and you've removed it from the room, only to find out that there's two, three, or more other devices that are in place. Your car radio starts suddenly getting weird. Keep in mind that the antenna your car radio uses may be, and often is, exploited by an eavesdropper, and that such usage may interfere with radio reception. So be concerned if your car radio frequency suddenly starts acting weird. In the same way, your television set, if you start developing strange interference. Television broadcast frequencies are often used to cloak an eavesdropping signal, but such devices also tend to interfere with television reception, typically a UHF channel, and televisions also suck in a lot of RF energy, and because they're very sensitive to nearby transmitters in the area, it's very possible that you can pick up a bug just by watching your television as the picture goes to change. A small handheld television, like a Sony Watchman, for example, with a collapsible antenna, is sometimes a good tool to give you some indication if there is a bug or similar device in the room on some of the frequencies that are used by amateur spies. If you've been the victim of a burglary but nothing was taken, professional eavesdroppers often break into targets or homes or offices and very rarely leave evidence of the break-in. However, if you live there, you might realize that something just doesn't look right and things have been moved around. Electrical wall plates appear to have been moved slightly, or they've been jarred. One of the most popular locations for hiding eavesdropping devices is inside or behind the electrical plate or a telephone connection. Electrical switches, outlets, smoke alarms, and lighting fixtures are all popular places for hiding eavesdropping devices. This requires that the wall plates be removed, so look for small amounts of debris located on the floor directly below the outlet. Also watch for slight variations in the color or the appearance of the power outlets and or light switches, as many times these devices are switched out by a similar looking device that has a bug built into it. Also make note if any of the screws which hold the wall plate against the wall have been moved from their previous position. A dime-sized discoloration has suddenly appeared on the wall or ceiling, and it's not the nails popping through the wall on a standard wall board at the house. This is a telltale sign that a pinhole microphone or small covert video camera has been recently installed. And many times people just shave a little piece of the wall, they place a device inside, and then they try to patch it up as best they can. And this is something that's picked up in the physical sweep. We had a client contact us, and she told us that there were all kinds of things coming out of her walls, and she thought the entire house was bugged. And we got to the house, and we just saw that the house had shifted, and all the nails were coming through the wallboard. One of your vendors has just given you an electronic device as a gift, such as a desk radio, an alarm clock, a lamp, a small TV, a boombox, a CD player, and so on. Many of these gifts are actually Trojan horses, which contain eavesdropping devices. Be very suspicious of any kind of pen, marker, briefcase, calculator, post-it note dispenser, power adapter, pager, cell phone, etc., that's given to you as a gift, because these kinds of devices many times could be used as a bugging device. A little gift that the salesman left for you may be a serious hazard. A small bump or deformation has appeared on the vinyl baseboard near the floor. This is the cove molding, they call it. It's a piece of piece of vinyl molding at the bottom of the wall above the carpet in a industrial or office application. And somebody may have pulled that rubber molding off and concealed a microphone or some type of wiring, which is running the wires to a point where people are listening in on your conversations. Such deformation will often appear as a color shift or a lightening of the color as you're looking at that piece of rubber. The smoke detector, clock, lamp, or exit sign that just appeared in your office or in your house looks crooked, has a small hole in it, or has some kind of reflective surface. Many times these are popular places for concealing eavesdropping devices. When these devices are installed at a target location, they're rarely installed straight, and usually the camera, if there is a camera inside, is not adjustable, so the whole device is usually turned off center, and that's one of the giveaway signs if you see, for example, an exit sign that doesn't look quite right. Certain types of items have just appeared in your office or home, but nobody seems to know how they got there. And again, clocks, exit signs, sprinkler heads, radios, picture frames, and lamps are all things that are used to conceal eavesdropping devices. White wall dry dust or debris is noticed on the floor next to the wall. This is typically a good sign that, that something has happened while you were gone, especially if this is your own office that you're in control of, and there's been no other work done in the office that you know of legitimately. This is something that should give you pause to consider. Has somebody been up in the ceiling, and there's evidence of a person going into the ceiling by the powdery debris that's left on the floor? You notice small pieces of the ceiling tile or grit on the floor or on your desk. Oftentimes, that's a sign that somebody's been up in the ceiling. You notice that phone company trucks, phone company quotation marks, because they may not be really from the phone company, or people who appear to be utility workers are spending a lot of time near your home or office doing repair work. If you see the same or similar vehicles more than three times, you have a serious problem, at least according to U.S. State Department training course on counter-surveillance. Again, these things, when put together in the context of many different issues that are going on, especially if you're involved in a particularly sensitive litigation or development of a product, this may be a sign that somebody is trying to monitor your conversations. Telephone, cable, plumbing, or air conditioning repair people who show up to do work when nobody called them. Again, a very common ruse that's used to gain access into a facility. We always say that anybody shows up with a hard hat and a clipboard and says they're here to fix the HVAC, very few people are going to turn them away. And this is how people get into the building many times if you don't have the right type of security in place to control your visitors. Service or delivery trucks are often parked nearby, and it doesn't appear as if anyone is in them. These vehicles are commonly used as listening posts. So be very cautious of any vehicle which has a ladder or pipe rack on the roof, and it doesn't appear as if anybody is inside. If the back of the vehicle has tinted windows or an area you can't see through, it's very possible that somebody is hiding in the back and listening into your conversations. Also keep in mind that the person may relocate the vehicle several times, so look around and keep an eye out for vehicles and trucks that are parked near your house or your office that don't appear to have a legitimate reason for being there. Your door locks suddenly don't feel right. They're either very sticky, or they completely fail, or they appear to be very loose. This is usually a sign that the lock has been picked, manipulated, or bypassed in some way. You want to use good quality locks, like Medeco locks, Multilocks, Assa Abloy locks, any of the major companies that sell a good quality product that can easily be picked. Furniture has been moved slightly, and nobody knows why. A very popular location for the installation of eavesdropping devices is either behind or inside of furniture, like a couch, a chair, a lamp, and people who live or work in a targeted area tend to notice when these furnishings have been moved. So you want to keep an eye open for anything that may have been moved, even over an inch, especially if you live alone. Pay close attention to the imprint which the furniture makes on the rugs, the position of lampshades and things of that nature. Watch the distance between the furniture and the wall, as eavesdroppers are usually in a hurry and rarely put the furniture exactly back in the right place. Things seem to have been rummaged through, but nothing is missing, at least that you've noticed. A less than professional spy will often rummage through a target's home for hours, but very rarely will they do it in a neat and orderly fashion. Most common rummaging targets are the backs of desk drawers, the bottom of file cabinets, closets, and dresser drawers. Who gets bugged? High threat occupations could be any of the people that are listed, politicians, doctors, attorneys involved in major cases, police officers or law enforcement agents about to testify, labor union officials, people who are in advertising, high fashion, high technology industries, software developer, etc. The more likely that somebody will attempt to gain information about you really depends on the amount of information you have and what that value of that information would be for somebody. If you're going to be talking on your phone at night about a big project that's about to be released in about a week, there's a tremendous value to a person, whether it's a competitor or somebody who would attempt to blackmail you, there's a tremendous value to that person to get that information. High threat personal situations. If you're involved in any type of big litigation or lawsuit, you've been questioned, arrested, or arraigned by the police, you're in the process of getting married, divorced, or separated. A minister or religious leader, a priest, a rabbi, deacon, bishop, elder, any of these people are also targets. Running for any type of elected public office, if you've been elected to any type of public office, an executive or a scientist at any large company, if you recently filed a very large insurance claim, if you've been engaging in political demonstrations or activism, employed by a defense contractor, the Department of Energy, etc. if you believe private investigators have been poking around, or you're in a very high income bracket. Your company has stock which is publicly traded or will be soon. There's a tremendous value to people trying to find out what the initial public offering will be, or if the stock is about to go up or down. I think we can all look at the example of what's happened with Martha Stewart and Sam Woxall as examples of people who found out information about stocks. And there are a lot of people who would love to know this information as well so they can make the appropriate moves. If your company is having labor problems, union activities, or union negotiations are going on, it's almost standard operating procedure at a union when they're going into contracts, contract talks and negotiations, to sweep the room that the meeting is going to be taken in, because people are concerned that somebody will attempt to eavesdrop on the conversation and decide what can be offered, what will be accepted, and things like that. If your company is involved in any type of major litigation or lawsuit, if your company has layoffs pending, or if they've just happened, if your company is involved in the fashion, automotive, advertising, or marketing industries, these are prime targets. Anyone can be the target of covert eavesdropping. However, some people are just under greater risk than others because of their financial position, their occupation, or legal or domestic situation. Spouses bug each other on a regular basis. Somebody called me up the other day. They said, "Do you sell bugging equipment?" I said, "No, that's illegal to sell and possess bugging equipment." She says, "But I thought private investigators can get those types of things." So some people are under the belief that if they go to a person that's a private investigator, that they will in some way be authorized to bug or wiretap a phone, and that's simply not true. Parents bug their children. Businessmen bug other businessmen. Scientists bug other scientists. Students even bug their professors. Attorneys bug other attorneys as well as their clients. Insurance companies bug accident victims and other claimants. Construction companies bug other construction companies. Salesmen bug clients. Collection agencies bug debtors. Police officers bug suspects. Executive recruiters bug personnel directors. Rock fans bug rock musicians. Department stores bug customers and merchandise. Many stores that have devices planted, some of them are cameras that you may see. But as they say, you always have to worry about the cameras that you don't see. There are people that put in wireless listening devices in many places around the store. The legality of doing that is certainly in a gray area, but some people don't care about that and they do it anyway. You could be standing there and talking to somebody, and it may be possible that there's a wired microphone there and a person is picking up your entire conversation. Spy shop toys. The U.S. State Department estimates that at least $800 million of illegal bugging and eavesdropping device equipment is imported and installed into corporations in the United States every year. The majority of this equipment is illegally imported into the United States from France, Germany, from Lebanon, Italy, Canada, Israel, England, Japan, Taiwan, South Africa, and a host of other countries. Additionally, anybody with a soldering iron, some basic understanding of electronics, can build and install an eavesdropping device. The raw materials to build such a device could be easily obtained at Radio Shack or salvaged from consumer electronic devices such as cordless phones, intercom systems, televisions, or baby monitors. In the United States, over $6 million worth of surveillance devices are sold to the public each day, $6 million a day. Most of these products are sold from storefront operations, spy shops. People get them from their attorneys and private investigators located in major metropolitan areas, New York, Miami, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Dallas, could even be Las Vegas. This doesn't include the tens of billions spent each year for legitimate eavesdropping products purchased by law enforcement, military, and intelligence agencies. This equipment is commonly sold over the counter, by a mail order, and through the internet. Most of these bugging devices cost only a few dollars, but highly sophisticated quality products may be purchased for less than $1,000. In New York City alone, there are over 85 companies which will sell you not only the eavesdropping device, but they would even, under the right circumstances, break into a Target office and install a device for the right amount of money. The FBI and other federal law enforcement agencies have repeatedly indicated they lack the resources and training to enforce or to properly investigate the technical security threat within the United States because of the sheer numbers of it that goes on. Technical surveillance and industrial espionage is a serious problem which can have a very grave impact on your company and your own personal freedoms. What to do if you suspect that you have been bugged? contact a qualified TSEM firm. Corporate attorneys are usually a good resource for this type of information. The Yellow Pages is typically not. Make contact from a place other than the suspect location. Every time somebody calls me and my assistant tells me that the person thinks that their phones are tapped or the room is being bugged, the first question I ask them is, are you calling me from the place that you think you may be having a problem? And guaranteed, 9 times out of 10, the person tells me that they are. So the best thing to do is get to a phone where it's outside of your office, outside of your building. Take a cellular phone, don't go in your car, get to a different location like a shopping center or a hotel or some type of public place and make a call to a qualified TSEM agency. Simply because if you call us from the phone that could be tapped, it would be very easy for the eavesdroppers to disconnect everything or just to remove a lot of what they have, and then after we've left, come back and put everything back in. You can't really call the telephone company for help. I don't know if there's anybody here from any of the telephone companies. There's no offense intended, but the telephone companies typically do not perform these types of services. If the telephone company does come out, they may just trace some lines, or they just may use some basic pieces of equipment, look for any unusual wiring, but they don't perform TSEM sweeps. Really can't call the police or the FBI. I guess it all depends on where you live, but if you live, for example, in New York City, and you were to call the police department and tell them that you think your phones are tapped, I think you'd be waiting an awful long time for somebody to come down and try to figure out what the situation is. It's the same thing with the FBI. They really are not going to respond to the average person calling them who thinks that their phone might be tapped, and especially if they think the phone is tapped simply because it's clicking or there's some kind of strange noise on the phone. Do not discuss your suspicions with anyone else except on a need-to-know basis. Planning and execution of a proper sweep. First thing that happens is the client secures contact with a company that provides these kinds of services. We also recommend people review the Granite Island Group's website, which is tsem.com, which has related TSEM materials and detailed descriptions of all of the threats, the equipment that is used, and a lot of things that are indigenous to this field. Contact should usually be made away from the suspect facility at a payphone, as I said before, hotel, airport, or some public place like a shopping center. You don't make contact with the phone that you think you might be having a problem with. You don't do it with a cordless phone. You don't do it with a cellular phone that's in the same area. Initial arrangements for a secure face-to-face meeting should be made, and materials, if there are any, could be sent to Granite Island Group, located in Massachusetts, which is one of the top companies that perform these types of searches. Initial meeting and commissioning. Initial and secure face-to-face meeting. The initial meeting should be a sterile location away from the suspect facility. This way we could discuss in great detail what the problem is without compromising our discussion or what type of search we're going to do prior to doing it. The discussion regarding the client's concerns and their vulnerability should take place, as well as the commissioning of the TSEM services, signing a contract, etc. All should be taking place at a room outside of the target location. You have to formulate a plan. I know I always tell people at the beginning, what do you want to do in case we find something? What if something is actually present if you find that your phones are tapped? What are you going to do? Are you going to remove it? Are you going to feed it false information and try to figure out who put it there? Are you going to call the police? You have to decide what you want to do prior to engaging a sweep firm to find these devices for you. Next step is a pre-inspection survey, research, and facility reconnaissance. We would take a look at the facility blueprints, do a radio frequency survey outside of the building, and take a look at the building from the outside, see if there's adjoining offices or buildings that may be able to listen into what's going on, see if there's any suspect vehicles or things connected even from the outside of the building. Next is the vulnerability analysis. We do a threat assessment and determine what the level of threat may be that exists against your company or your home. We do a physical security assessment. Do you have the right types of locks? Do you have alarms? Do you have proper security protecting your home or your office? Then an internal radio frequency survey is done in order to determine what radio frequencies are being detected inside of the premises. An audit of the communication systems and facilities that exist are made. Many times that we find in very large companies that we do an audit of their telephone system, we find out that the telephone vendor has the ability to monitor all of the conversations from outside of the office. And many of the people who are at the company have just no idea that this is something that's possible. Inventory of furnishings, fixtures, and artifacts. You want to take a look at everything that's located within the room. If it's a bookcase, you want to look at the bookcase. You want to look at the shelves. You want to look at the book holder that's on there, the every decorative device that's in there. Any items that you find in the house at all, you want to take a look at and examine them and subject them to testing to make sure there's nothing hidden inside. An evaluation of the structural elements, the walls, the ceilings, the floors. A sketch of the suspect area and the facility should be made. An identification of sensitive areas should be made as well, because certain areas like conference rooms, the chairman's office, the president's office, and places like that are typically the most vulnerable. A development of the threat model, trying to determine based on who your company is, what type of client you're dealing with, you want to make an examination and a determination of the kind of person who would attempt to get that information for you. A person who is operating out of their house and they may be having a domestic problem has to deal with one type of threat. It might be just a spouse buying an inexpensive device. It might be a private investigator, as opposed to a very large company that's putting out a product that's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Sweeps can be performed during normal office hours with the appropriate cover or reason for doing it. However, most sweeps are performed after hours or on the weekends when no one is there. Our clients always tell us, don't worry, come in on Saturday at 9 o'clock. No one will be at the office in the summer on Saturday at 9 o'clock. Guaranteed when you get through, there's 12 people in the office, and they have to be given some reason to leave. Usually what they'll be told is that the office is about to be exterminated, and there's going to be a lot of fumes in there, so usually people aren't going to stick around very long. But typically sweeps are done when nobody is in the office. A silent passive walkthrough. This is done by using devices that don't have any beeping or alerting sounds and nothing that would alert the eavesdropper that they're about to be discovered. Automated bug and wireless microphone detection is done at that point from a range of 9 kilohertz to approximately 3 gigahertz. It changes as the bugging and wiretap devices change as well. Initial VLF inspection of all AC lines, telephone lines, LANs, HVAC wiring. Initial detection of infrared devices and laser surveillance devices, if any. Video camera, tape recorder, and ultrasonic detection is also completed at that point. And an overt threat detection is made of any other types of devices or people that may be creating an eavesdropping situation. We then make an initial evaluation of the physical security, the locks, alarms, and other things that are in place. Most private investigators, spy shop, and amateur bugs will be detected during this phase. Very popular, and only takes about 4 hours for a brief walkthrough type of inspection, TSEM services above this level starts radically increasing in cost and in terms of difficulty and complexity of the service being provided. Next, a passive inspection is made of radio frequency and light spectrum monitoring. No noise and non-alerting activities only, nothing that would alert the eavesdropper again at this point. We typically have music playing softly in the background. The client's on the phone making calls that are not particularly important. Drapes and blinds are closed so nobody can see what's going on inside. Full passive radio frequency spectrum sweep from 20 hertz to above 110 gigahertz is made at that point. Full passive light spectrum sweep is also conducted at that point, looking again for infrared listening devices or transmitting devices. Most private investigator, spy shop, and even advanced amateur bugs will be detected during this phase. An active inspection is then done. This does make a little bit of noise, however, at this point it usually wouldn't alert a person who is an eavesdropper. Check all electrical outlets. Everybody who's familiar with a baby transmitter knows that by plugging in a transmitter in one room, you're able to plug in the receiver in another room and listen and hear pretty well exactly what's going on. Baby monitors sell for about $40, and it's going to work in the area of any number of offices or homes that are sharing a common transformer. You may have 12 houses on one street, and they're all using one electrical transformer, so you could put a transmitting device theoretically in one person's house, put the receiving device in your house, and be able to listen to everything that's going on. All light switches and fixtures are checked. HVAC controls are checked. Alarm and access contact sensors. Fire system sensors and alarms are checked as well. All phone lines are evaluated and traced back to the central office. Well, you can't go back as far as the central office, but typically you can go as far as 2,500 feet beyond the demarcation point where the phone line comes into the building. All lighting is inspected. All artifacts are documented, recorded, and inspected. Anything that might be sitting on the shelves or anything that's in the room, decorative pen holders on the desk or any types of things people have on their desks. An initial inspection of all the wall plates, plates for PBXs and for the LAN are also checked. An ultraviolet lighting sweep is also done at this point, and an infrared lighting sweep is done at this point, again, at slightly different settings. A visible spectrum light sweep is done, and forensic light sources and filter sweeps are also performed at this time, again, looking for more and more sophisticated devices as you go to a more and more technical type of sweep. Check for telephone set modifications problems, hot wiring the microphones, as we discussed before. Check the PBX software for any kind of hardware or software problems that might exist on the PBX telephone system. Also check the voicemail for any kind of modifications or problems that might exist. Check all computer and LAN connections. Check all laser printer and computer output devices, making sure there's nothing that's broadcasting from those devices to another type of monitoring device. Law enforcement and professional bugs would be detected at this point. Typical threat level is, for corporate offices, is as high as this last type of inspection. Next is another step up. Chirp detection for hidden microphones and other types of transducers by putting in a known sounding device and sweeping the room. You're checking for hidden microphones, tape recorders, infrared, audio, or ultrasonic devices. At this point, you would render the eavesdropping device temporarily inoperative and decide what to do, whether you're going to remove the device, feed it false information, or report it to law enforcement. Inspect all furnishing, desks, chairs, plants, open the ceilings and walls, do a thermal inspection. HVAC and ductwork should be inspected. Acoustical leakage should be tested. A borescope investigation of all electrical wall plates and boxes that are in the walls. A detailed inspection should be made of all lighting fixtures at this point. Inventory of all conductors, conduits, wall studs, etc. A detailed electromagnetic energy search should be done above 110 gigahertz. And professional eavesdropping devices that would be planted by the most sophisticated eavesdroppers would be detected during this phase. This is something typically done for a Fortune 500 company and a very high-end law firm. At this point, you would now do the time domain reflectometer trace, checking all the telephone system wiring, the computer network wiring, cable television, CCTV, all of these lines, all of these wires need to be tested. Electrical wiring, HVAC controls, the alarms, fire alarms again are tested. PBX, ESS, and SN translation devices should be evaluated if these are present as well. A voicemail system evaluation should be made. Even the Xerox machine needs to be inspected. The fax machine needs to be inspected. Wall floors and ceiling cavities should be inspected. Intense physical inspection of every cubic centimeter of the room at this point needs to be done. And at this level, this is usually done for diplomatic offices, law enforcement, and intelligence agencies that might have the need for these types of services to be done at their location. Typical threat level is at this level for high-end attorneys, defense contractors, and even aerospace firms. Special inspection activities, using the nonlinear junction detector, as we mentioned before, looking for active and passive X-ray devices, radiographic and fluoroscope inspections can be done if it's warranted at this point. If you're getting a sound or a device from the wall and you can't open up the wall, you may want to do a fluoroscope inspection at that point. Preventative actions that can be taken after the sweep has been done. Seal and dust all cavities, wall plates, artifacts, etc. Install acoustic, ultrasonic, infrared, and radio frequency cloak devices as needed. Install alarms and associated security devices if you don't have the right type. Installation of encryption devices for your telephones and other type of devices, your wireless network, for example. Installation of high security locks, doors, and hinges. Installation of the proper physical security devices, and client education and training. After the inspection, a verbal presentation is made to the client before leaving, and a presentation of a hard copy report is generally prepared within 48 hours. The clients are given a list of corrective actions that need to be taken, and then a follow-up list of follow-up actions should be taken as well. Recurring sweeping services should be done as well in order to make sure that nothing has been planted at a future time. If an eavesdropping device or activity is detected, you want to collect the evidence and documentation regarding the device, notify law enforcement agencies if appropriate. You want to do a forensic identification and analysis device in order to identify where it may have come from or who may have put it there. And counterintelligence and counter-surveillance activity should be formed at that point to find out who's bugging you, who's wiretapping your phones, who the threat is coming from. I'd like to thank the Granite Island Group from Gloucester, Massachusetts, for their assistance in preparing this documentation. And I think we've tried to give everybody the best overview we possibly can of doing a sweep, tried to separate some of the myths from the facts and realities, and I'd be happy to take any questions if anybody has any. Yes, sir. Well, it's a very good question, but I think like any time that you're hiring somebody to do very specific services for you on a high level, you want to take a look at who the recommendation is coming from. If you go to a law firm, and it's a law firm that you trust, you want to ask them if they have a referral to somebody that they think very highly of as well. As I said before, I don't necessarily recommend going into the Yellow Pages. Yes, sir. It can be intercepted, but certainly the more security you have and the more steps that you take, the more unlikely it is that somebody's going to be able to intercept your conversation. The analog telephones were very easily compromised by somebody just being within 12 feet of you, and they'd be able to listen to both sides of the conversation and connect it into the tape recorder. So certainly some kind of device that you're talking about, some type of encryption device, is going to give you much greater security than a person who's not using an encrypted device. Although typically your standard digital cellular phone today offers very good security, it's very hard for somebody to listen into those phones on a typical level. A cell phone is secure for the most part. For the most part, a cell phone is relatively secure because it's usually using a digital signal.
As far as cell phones go, security is really only up to a level. Some of the older ones, the analog ones, ran on the 800 megahertz band, and those were really easy. Anybody with a scanner that wasn't disabled in that frequency blocker or ham radio could check them. The spread set spectrum stuff with the CDMA and all that. I personally have not met people who have gone into hacking that, but I have heard it's been done, but it's much, much more secure and much less common to be done than the older analog phones.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry? It is certainly more difficult, and you need to have a person who is more highly skilled and has the right type of equipment. As I tried to mention, there's so many different levels of threats that you have. Certainly somebody who's using that type of device is doing something that's much more sophisticated. In some cases, you're simply doing a wiring inspection and a level one threat check to find something. Like, it might be as simple as just a tape recorder that's on the phone line. It all depends on the target level and what the client situation is. Any other questions? There's a lot of variations of that because there's a lot of very clever people around, and people are taking devices and using them to send not only voice, but they're also using it to send data, so they're able to intercept the network transmission. So that does happen quite a bit. Okay, thank you very much for your attention. We appreciate it.